We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in to the LakersNation.com podcast. I am Trevor Lane, and it is game day. Lakers, Clippers. Today, big one. Can the Lakers finally get a win against one of the teams that they really need wins against? Well, okay, maybe not so much in the playoff race, but it always feels good when you get a win over the Clippers. And in the standings, the Lakers definitely need the W. Maybe not quite as much as they needed to put a loss on the Warriors record or the Suns record. Didn't do that, but I'd still enjoy handing the Clippers an L. We got a lot to talk about on today's show. We are even going to talk a little bit of Dodgers. So I've got the Dodgers blue guys here. Joining me is Jeff Spiegel and editor extraordinaire Daniel Starkan. Guys, how you doing?
Doing good. Can't complain. It's an exciting time to be a sports fan in LA, I would say.
Yeah, same. Can't complain either. Obviously, like Trevor said, we got some big Laker games coming up here. This is kind of the crucial stretch of the season, and Dodgers spring training is now in full swing. We'll get to that later. Shohei Ohtani goes deep in his first game yesterday. So, like Jeff said, exciting times right now, and I'm excited to dig into it.
So here's the plan, everybody. What we're going to do is we're going to be talking Lakers through the first half plus of this show. Towards the end, we're going to talk Dodgers a little bit to help preview that. The guys over at Dodger Blue do a phenomenal job. So if you're a Dodger fan, stick around to the end. We'll do a little bit of Dodger talk here at the end. But before we get into all of that, Jeff, can you give us just like a quick overview of what you guys have going on over at Dodger Blue, the YouTube channel, the podcast, the site, all that stuff?
Yeah, Dodger Blue 1958 on YouTube. We've got content coming out basically every day, much like some of the stuff we've got here at Lakers Nation. We've got live shows on Tuesday nights, Friday nights, and Sunday nights. Once games start, the Tuesdays and Fridays will be post-game shows. The Sunday is kind of like our podcast format. And if you are a podcast person, Dodger Heads podcast on Apple, Spotify, and Google as well. So lots to talk about. The Dodgers, for those that haven't been following super closely, spent about $1.3 billion this offseason to add the highest paid player ever, the highest paid starting pitcher ever, and, you know, a couple more all-stars just for fun. So it's been a good offseason, and lots to talk about over at Dodger Blue.
Yeah, the Dodgers are kind of in the still fun and exciting part. We're the Lakers side. We're in the thick of it right now. It's been rough. We expected an exciting, fun season. We haven't gotten that. The Dodgers haven't really. They're in spring training right now, so they haven't gotten their season started yet. But boy, it looks real promising coming into this season. So I can't wait to see what they've got. We're gonna get into that in just a bit. Before we get there, though, Daniel, you were at Lakers practice yesterday. Can you give us some updates? What was talked about, the injury report, all of that?
Yeah, I'll start with the injuries, I guess. I'd say the most notable thing was Cam Reddish was able to practice fully, and then the injury report came out, and he's listed as probable. So it looks like he should be back tonight against the Clippers, which is good because we know they got a lot of star power on the wings and the guards, which is where the Lakers have kind of struggled defensively. Correct me if I'm wrong, Trevor, but I think it was against the Clippers that Cam Reddish hurt his ankle. I think it was James Harden kind of stuck his feet out on a three-pointer, so we haven't seen him since then. So hopefully he'll be back in there and looking healthy tomorrow. And then other injury updates, we didn't really get much on Jared Vanderbilt or Gabe Vincent, which is kind of what everyone I know has been hoping for. The Lakers did say they were going to give, you know, they were going to be reevaluated after the All-Star break. We still haven't really gotten any firm updates. Darvin Ham did say that both of those guys, neither of them have progressed to on-court work yet. So they're both still kind of in the rehab process, running on anti-gravity treadmills, doing work in the pool and such. So it sounds like both of those guys are still a ways off, which is obviously unfortunate. Like, those are two key guys for the Lakers. So even though it is nice to get Cam Reddish back, it would be nice to get some other reinforcements as well. But that's going to have to, you know, wait a little bit. But I'd say the biggest theme of practice, and especially coming off the Suns game we just saw, it was about rebounding. We know this has been a struggle for the Lakers on the defensive glass pretty much all year. Like, they did have a stretch there where they were a lot better, but they've kind of regressed in recent, you know, weeks here since the All-Star break. And obviously, when you have key guys out, some of your bigger guys, like, it's going to hurt you on the glass. But everyone kind of acknowledged that it has to be a group effort. Like, it can't just be Anthony Davis getting, you know, every single rebound, like, as great as he is. So we'll see against the Clippers if they're able to kind of put that into action and put more of a focus on the glass. But Darvin Ham said that was pretty much all they were focused on in their film session. And he said there were a lot of bad clips, which anyone who watched Sunday's game is well aware of. So we'll see how that looks against the Clippers. But yeah, I mean, it's a big game, and it is good that they're at least getting Cam Reddish back. Likely, he's probable.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be a big help. You need wing defense with Jared Vanderbilt out and Max Christie seemingly glued to the bench for who knows what reason. But
yeah, who knows?
They need the Cam's ability to defend on the wing. So especially even without Paul George, the Clippers still have plenty of players that can hurt you out there. So hopefully Cam Reddish can come back and give the Lakers a little bit of boost in that area. So that's definitely a positive. You mentioned Gabe Vincent, Jared Vanderbilt. I mean, look, we heard the reports that, you know, Gabe, this was coming from Jake Fisher like a month ago, that Gabe was going to be targeting early March to return. I don't see it, right? If he's not on the court right now, we're at the end of February, right? Here we are. I know it's a leap year, but still, it's the end of February. If he's not on the court right now, early March, there's just no way. There's no way he's getting back by that point. And then Jared Vanderbilt, we still have no idea. The Lakers have, last I looked, the sixth most games missed due to injury in the NBA, and that tally just keeps growing and growing with Vando out, with Gabe Vincent out, Cam Reddish out, all these other players. LeBron and AD have been pretty healthy. Everybody else has been hurt. It'd be nice to see guys get healthy before we get into that playoff push and or into the playoffs, and hopefully they can develop a little bit of chemistry together. But I guess that's really what we need to talk about here, is this playoff push. Do they still have a shot, guys, at moving up? How are we feeling right now about their chances? Because there's a lot of people out there, a lot of Lakers fans right now, that say they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, so that's it. They're done. How do you guys feel?
I'll let Daniel go first on this one.
Well, I will say that this upcoming stretch is going to be very telling. Like, they have a stretch here where they're going to be at home for almost all of March, and they're going to be playing almost solely playoff caliber type teams. So I think that's going to tell us a lot. Like, we saw last season, this is kind of when they hit the ground running and kind of got hot going into the playoffs. So I wouldn't completely rule that out, but at the same time, like, their play in recent weeks hasn't exactly been encouraging. They were playing well going into the All-Star break, but coming out of it, it has not been great. So we'll see. But hey, at the end of the day, like you said, like, LeBron and AD have been healthy, and when those guys are healthy, you do have a chance. Like, when you look at the West, there's a lot of good teams, but outside of, I'd say, like, the Denver Nuggets, I think the Lakers could compete with any team on any given night. Like, we've seen that pretty much all season. Like, they've beaten some really good teams, and then they've lost to some really bad teams. That's kind of been the story of this team. But now they don't really have the luxury of those off nights against bad teams. So I think this next 2-3 weeks are going to be key. Like, if this team has a run in them, we're going to have to see it now, or else, you know, they might miss the playoffs altogether, which would be, you know, extremely disappointing considering what the expectations were coming into this season.
Yeah, I think for me, like, the Lakers are a team that, when it comes down to a must-win game situation, I still feel pretty good about this team because they have LeBron and because they have Anthony Davis. And if we're willing to bet on those two guys staying healthy, which we all know what kind of bet that is, especially given the run of luck that we've been on from a LeBron and AD health perspective. I think that's something that I feel good about. You know, you want to avoid the play-in if at all possible, but once you get in onto the dance floor, if you're the Lakers, I feel good. And you guys mentioned a couple of these guys, Cam Reddish being among them, Max Christie, if he ever gets playing time. I mean, the Lakers' issues have been almost entirely on the defensive side. I was looking it up, 26th in points allowed over the last 100 possessions since January 23rd. That was a stat from Jovan over at The Athletic. I mean, if Cam Reddish can come in and improve that a little bit, if Max Christie gets a little more playing time and can improve that a little bit, it feels like there are opportunities to improve. And so, you know, you've got the standings up here. It's a lot of ground to make up, even just to move up one or two spots, being that they're, you know, a couple games back of Sacramento and Dallas. But overall, I still think it's like, as long as the Lakers can get in to the postseason, which by all accounts they are projected to do, I'm still going to like my chances with LeBron and AD.
Yeah, and that has to be the hope right now, is that the Lakers have a puncher's chance with LeBron, a healthy Anthony Davis, if they can get other guys healthy, get into the postseason, and then still be a challenge for anybody. The problem is right now, as you can see on the screen, they've now dropped officially to the 10 seed because Golden State won. Golden State has just about the easiest schedule remaining in the NBA. I believe it's ranked 25th or 26th at this point in terms of their strength of schedule. The Lakers just 5th or 6th, so they have an extremely difficult schedule remaining. The Warriors super easy, so that doesn't bode well for the Lakers, but they're probably going to be in double elimination territory if they sit here in the 9 or 10 seed. So that's probably what we're looking ahead to, unless you can catch Dallas. Dallas lost last night on that Max Strus buzzer beater. Thank you, Max Strus, for giving us a little bit of help there, because that does drop Dallas down at least maybe into striking distance for the Lakers. The Sacramento Kings, the Lakers still have two more games against them, so you can make up some ground there. But the bottom line is this team just has to start winning games, and they're not doing enough of that right now. And specifically, they're losing the games against teams they need to beat in the Warriors and the Suns. This looks a lot different if they'd picked up those two wins. So it's going to be a tough path here for the Lakers. It's going to be a tough path, but we'll see if they can get things back on track. Again, that's going to really need to get going tonight against the Clippers. By the way, everybody, before I get too far into this, I am going to drop the link for Dodger Blue down in the description, so you guys can find that there. And then, of course, over on the podcast side, I'll put it there as well. Jeff, how do you feel about the ability for this team ultimately to make this push? You think it's going to happen?
Well, I mean, one other thing I was looking at, if you're watching on YouTube and you can see the standings we got up, Look at everybody's last 10 in the Western Conference. Exactly. The Lakers are in 10th, and every single team above them, except for the Kings, is over 500. So the Lakers are 7-3. You've got Golden State 8-2, Dallas 7-3, Kings 5-5, New Orleans 7-3, Phoenix and the Clippers and Denver all 6-4, OKC 8-2, Minnesota 7-3. So, I mean, it's kind of crazy because of how bleak it feels to be a Lakers fan right now, and yet they've won 7 of their last 10. The problem is they've lost a game on Golden State over that stretch. They haven't gained any ground on Dallas. So that's the crazy part. You know, the Lakers, from a win perspective, have actually won 7 of their last 10. So that makes it tricky. Can the Lakers stay hot? Maybe a couple of these teams come back down to earth. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for sure.
Sorry, Trevor, just to kind of add on to that, like you never want to be in a spot where you're relying on, you know, other teams to lose to help you make the playoffs, but that's kind of where the Lakers are in right now. Like, they were playing really good basketball before the All-Star break, and like Jeff said, they haven't really been making up any ground. In fact, they dropped from, you know, 9th to 10th in that span. So it's unfortunate that they didn't kind of take care of their own business earlier in the season. So now they're relying on Max Strus half-court buzzer beaters to help them gain ground in the standings. But that's just the reality, you know, that we live in. And we as fans, like, we watch the standings. Trevor, I know you do a great job, like, telling Laker fans what they need to root for every day. But as Lakers players, like, they just need to kind of focus on their own business and handling what's in front of them. They've even something we're not really accustomed to as Laker fans. Like, they've even caught some breaks when it comes to health recently. Like, they're playing the Clippers tonight and Paul George is out. Like, they just played the Suns, without Bradley Beal, where usually guys are coming back to face the Lakers. We're not quite used to this, but they really need to take advantage of these games, you know, starting tonight against the Clippers, who are without Paul George.
Yeah, absolutely. Usually guys see Lakers on the schedule and they're Kevin Nash standing up out of the wheelchair, right? That's what winds up happening. But in this case, the Lakers, they needed to take advantage the other night against a Bradley Beal-less Phoenix Suns. They did not do it. Now, can they do it against a Paul George-less Clippers team? That could be an important game here for the Lakers. Look, that's the problem. You guys hit the nail on the head with the Western Conference. Everybody keeps winning. Yeah. Seven out of your last 10 winning. Like, if you win at that clip all season long, you're the one seed, right? Like, that's the winning percentage of the one seed in the Western Conference right now over the course of the season, 70%. That's Minnesota, that's OKC right now. The problem is everybody in the West is winning games because the West is deep. The Eastern Conference, not so much. It's much more forgiving. So they're stuck in this very tough situation where making up ground is going to be difficult without having other teams lose games. All right, guys, so you've got Cam Reddish coming back, playing the Clippers tonight. What do you anticipate the impact to be of Reddish's return? Do they go right back to him? Does this change the starting lineup at all? What does this do to Darvin Ham's oft-criticized rotations? What does this change for LA?
I mean, you would think that a guy who's been out as long as Reddish has, which I believe is like around a month, you'd think they'd kind of want to ease him into things and play him light minutes, but you never really know when it comes to Darvin Ham and his rotations and lineups. So we'll see. Like, in theory, this is actually a good matchup for Reddish, where like you want that perimeter defense. But at the same time, like, when a guy hasn't played in a month and you're just kind of throwing him into the fire against Kawhi and James Harden, you know, that's probably not going to lead to much success. So what I'm hoping for is, like, let's get him in there and get his feet wet, but not too many minutes. Like, I don't think you need to necessarily mess with the starting lineup. They've actually played well together as a group, with the exception of, you know, this last Suns game on Sunday. I think they were undefeated until that game. So I don't think you need to mess with the starting lineup. So you're obviously bringing Cam off the bench in that scenario. And it is unfortunate. Like, we've brought up Max Christie a couple times here. I think, you know, most Laker fans want to see him get more minutes, especially when you see the struggles with the perimeter defense, with the defensive rebounding. Like, you know, Max Christie could really help in that regard. But now with Reddish coming back and with Spencer Dinwiddie continuing, you know, to get minutes, it seems like Max isn't really going to get too many opportunities, which is unfortunate, if you ask me.
Should that be the case? Like, Dinwiddie has not wowed anybody. Yeah. Should those minutes continue to go to him and you just trust he's a veteran, he's going to figure it out? Or should Max be getting the opportunity here?
Here's last two games for Spencer Dinwiddie: 47 minutes, 3 points, 3 assists, 1 rebound, and 3 personal fouls.
So is his name Gabe Vincent?
Trevor, where you want those minutes to come from.
the thing about this is, like, unfortunately, the Lakers aren't in a position where they could, like, be like, all right, we're going to give Dinwiddie minutes, let him get acclimated. Right. Like, they need to win games here. So, you know, it's the timing isn't exactly great. Like, I know Spencer's a talented player, and, you know, if he had more time to gain continuity, he could probably help this team. But right now, that, you know, the Lakers are in a spot where they need to win every game here. So it's not really the time to test out, you know, different stuff. Like, you got to go with your best guys at this point.
Well, and against the Clippers specifically, it feels like a guy like Max Christie for this matchup, because of the problems that you're facing, even without Paul George, it just feels like this would be a great chance to give him some minutes, especially if Cam Reddish is on some sort of minutes restriction. I mean, you kind of referenced it, Trevor. I'm curious. I get the sense. I think I know where you're leaning on this one based on those comments, but this feels like the perfect opportunity for some more Max Christie minutes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last game was the perfect opportunity. Hey, you need someone to defend Devin Booker that's not Austin Reeves and it's not D'Angelo Russell. Who are you going to put out there when Cam Reddish is hurt, Bando's hurt, everybody else is hurt? Max Christie, not that he's stopping people, but he's at least the prototypical 3-and-D style guard. And this is another good matchup for him against the Clippers. Now, maybe Cam Reddish returning changes that, but you're right, Daniel, you don't have time for Spencer Dinwiddie to figure it out. I trust that at some point he would, because he's a veteran. He's done this in this league for a long time. Just like I don't think Gabe Vincent is really a 7% three-point shooter or whatever he was in the five games he played. Eventually, he would have figured it out had he stayed healthy. Spencer Dinwiddie will figure it out at some point, but they don't have time for that. So if he doesn't have it going, if he can't find ways to get stops, give the 21-year-old a shot. Give him a chance to step in, see what he can do. He's heading into free agency this summer, and I think his skill set could be a nice fit, particularly when you're trying to defend the James Hardens of the world, these guards that are going to really try to light you up. That's my opinion. I think Max should be getting the shot here. Cam Reddish returning. He's bigger than Christie is, so maybe that changes things. But I think Max should be given a look here. At least to, I'm not saying start him. I'm not saying playing 30 minutes a night, but 15 minutes in a couple of seven-ish minute stints in each half. Yeah, that probably is the correct path forward here for the Lakers, in my opinion.
Yeah. And you kind of hinted at what I was about to say is like, we're not sitting here saying like Max Christie is the Lakers like savior or anything. Like, that's not what we're trying to say here, but he does have qualities that could help this team. Like, first of all, he's the youngest guy on the team. Like, he's got so much energy, like that, like you said, throwing him out there for 15 minutes a game and just providing that energy and helping on the defensive glass and making the corner threes, as we've seen from him, like those, that's a skill set the Lakers could use.
Well, he's also a really good rebounder too, yeah, which is, again, a point of focus for the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you know, and it was referenced to some of the quotes that Darvin Ham made after that Phoenix game where he had talked about their defensive strategy to kind of double team, sort of force the ball out of the hands of Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, and the role guys end up killing him. He had that great quote where it was like the operation was right, but the patient died, or whatever his quote was a pretty funny quote. But I mean, I just wonder, Daniel, do you think that's going to change with Reddish coming back? Like, cause it feels like maybe that's been the game plan because they haven't had guys, or they've chosen not to put Max Christie out. Cause if you're going to double Kevin Durant and force the ball out of his hands, then, you know, Max Christie maybe doesn't make a ton of sense if that's the game plan, because he's more of a isolated defensive guy in that situation, it feels like. So do you think that approach against a team like the Clippers is going to change with Reddish potentially healthy and Max Christie potentially, you know, getting more action?
Do you mean as far as like the game plan of yeah, kind of? No, unfortunately, I do not think that approach is going to change. We've kind of seen it all year, and this is a Mike Budenholzer philosophy, though. So this goes all the way back to when Darvin was in Atlanta and Milwaukee. That's kind of, you know, the philosophy they live by, where like, we're going to try to not let the stars beat us. And if a role player, you know, has a hot night, like, so be it. Like, we've seen it time and time again this season. Like, we saw it, notably Dante Exum comes to mind from that Dallas game a couple months ago. And then the other day against the Suns, we saw it with Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen. So that's just kind of the strategy they go with. It's worked sometimes, but it definitely hasn't worked all the time. So unfortunately, I don't think that's going to change it. And there is some merit to it. Like, if you're just going to give guys like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant single coverage, like, there's a good chance both of those guys could torch you for 40 points each. So I do understand it sometimes, but also, like, when you just leave role players wide open and they see a shot or two go in, like, they're only going to gain confidence from there. So I definitely think there needs to be an adjustment period, like, where you see, if a guy is starting to get hot, let's maybe not leave him, you know, so wide open. But that's just kind of, like you said, like, that's the operation worked, but the patient died. That's just kind of the strategy that Darvin Ham and that whole coaching tree goes by.
Mind-blowing stuff, Daniel. If a guy is hot, don't leave him. And yet the Lakers continue to do that. I'm worried about what Norman Powell is going to do tonight, because he tends to have these big games against the Lakers. The Lakers can't figure this out. Here's my problem with this strategy. It feels antiquated. And Keith Smith and I were talking about this yesterday on the front office show about how the NBA is actually looking at changing some of their defensive rules because they feel like maybe offenses have become too good. They become too dominant. And they want to try to rein that in a little bit. That's something that's being looked at right now, potentially for next season, but some rule changes. But when you look at the NBA today, you've got an entire generation of players that has grown up now shooting the three with that being a major weapon, a major part of their game. This is not like guys coming out of the 90s where you had one guy on the floor at most that could really shoot the three. Now everybody can do it. So if you're still deploying this defensive strategy from 10 years ago about, hey, we're going to put the ball in the hands of Grayson Allen and we're going to let him shoot threes. Oh, shoot. He's the best three-point shooter in the NBA. That doesn't work because so many guys are so good now. The percentages just keep going up year after year after year after year. you take even a guy who's not a great three-point shooter and you give them a ton of space to knock that down because you're going to double into the paint to help Anthony Davis, of all people, you're going to get burned by it. And I think that's what we see more often than not, is the Lakers getting burned by leaving shooters open. I do think that, Daniel, you're right. They need to make some shifts, some adjustments in game, that they don't do that enough. But this has been a consistent problem all season long. We see teams do it. Teams know when they're playing the Lakers, they hunt for open threes. And more often than not, they get them because of that strategy. I think it needs to change. But unfortunately, I also agree it's not going to. We're too deep in the season. They're not going to make that adjustment at this point if they haven't figured it out by now.
It reminds me of a Dodgers quote, Daniel, when Cody Bellinger was struggling and Mookie Betts looks over him and says, "Hey, they drive a Benz too," or something like that. Yeah. These guys are all pros. You know, Royce O'Neal might not be a guy that's going to torch you for 30 a night, but he drives a Benz too. There's a reason he's in the NBA.
No, Jeff kind of stole what I was about to say. Like, these, even the guys who are quote unquote not good shooters, like if you put them in an open gym and leave them wide open, and I see guys warming up before the game or in practice and whatnot, like, every guy can make 7 out of 10 threes if they're wide open. So, like, you know, it's an interesting strategy, and it might work sometimes, but, you know, for the most part, it hasn't.
Yeah, and that's been an issue for the Lakers, certainly on the defensive side of the ball. The rebounding has been an issue. Anthony Davis called out his teammates after the Suns game saying, "Look, I'm boxing out Nurkic. Nobody else is coming in from the backside. None of our, on the long bounces, none of our guards, our wings aren't doing a good enough job helping out in that regard." So that's something that I'm certainly going to be keeping an eye on, especially as you said, Daniel, they came out of practice today talking about it. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, you had Rui, Max, and Darvin were all talking about this.
Yeah. That was kind of the theme from all of them. And kind of on the same subject, where, like, if your defensive scheme is to allow all these threes, then you have to account for the amount of long rebounds that are going to come from that, because that's just how it works. So, like, if you're willing to give up these threes, then you have to put an extra emphasis on your guards and wings crashing the glass, because, you know, AD is only one guy. Like you were saying, like, he could box out Nurkic, but if he's boxing out Nurkic and then there's a long rebound that goes right over their heads, Nurkic is actually in the better position to get that rebound, or one of their other guards or wings is. So that's definitely seems like it's an emphasis. I thought it was funny, like, Max Christie was talking about it, and, like, in my head, I was thinking, like, hey, maybe if he got a chance to play, he could actually help with that, you know?
Right? Maybe if he played more than 5 minutes, then he could have helped out there, because he is a good rebounder for a guard. So, all right. So the Lakers take on the Clippers tonight. Obviously, this is a really, really big game, really important game. The problem is, the only thing this Lakers team has done consistently is be inconsistent. That's it. This season has been an absolute roller coaster. So let me ask you guys this. Who shows up today? What Lakers team shows up for this game?
Go ahead.
I'll go first. Looking at some of the numbers over the last few weeks, these are probably numbers that, as you guys are in this day to day, are familiar to you. But I was just curious, like, okay, some of the non-LeBron AD group, like, how have these guys been doing? And the way Austin Reeves and D'Angelo Russell have been shooting the basketball over the past, like, 3 or 4 weeks is pretty incredible. So in the month of February, Austin Reeves is shooting 50% from the floor and 44% from 3-point range on 6 attempts per game. D'Angelo Russell shooting 42% from 3 on over 8 attempts a game himself. So those two guys shooting at that clip, it's, you know, that helps me understand why the Lakers have won 7 of their last 10. And so, you know, as much as we criticize the Lakers strategy defensively, because I don't think it makes sense, and most teams probably don't play as extreme a version of it as the Lakers do, I still think in some of these games, there's going to be an emphasis from a team like the Clippers on AD and on LeBron. And so, can Austin Reeves continue to shoot it? 44% on 6 threes a game is ridiculous. So, I feel like Reeves is a layup answer here, but give me another positive performance from Austin Reeves.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, I think, like Trevor was saying, like the only thing we really know about this team is how inconsistent they are. So you never know who's, you know, which team is going to show up. But I do think, actually, I think this is a game where the Lakers are going to show up. We already talked about Paul George is out of the lineup. And the Clippers have actually struggled since the All-Star break as well. Like, they haven't looked great recently. So I think, and obviously their standings, you know, they're more set in the standings. It's not it's not as much of a must-win as it is for them as it is for the Lakers. So I think we're going to get a good performance from the Lakers in this one. And it is, I don't know, something notable is it's going to be the last time the Lakers are the road team in their own building, you know, barring a playoff series between these two games. And D'Lo was talking about the other, you know, talking about it the other day, just kind of how, you know, awkward that is, you know, just he said it was like having your own house redecorated. So that is kind of weird, but I do think the Lakers kind of have maybe a chip on their shoulder. Like, they want to show the Clippers like, hey, this is our house now. So we'll send you out of here with one last loss. Even though the Clippers have kind of owned the Lakers in recent years, we've actually seen the Lakers have won 2 out of 3 this year. So I think they'll finish it strong here.
Yeah.
They make playing sure with extra motivation. They got a new logo. You know, there's all the momentum with the new logo, Daniel, you know,
Carnival Cruises, baby.
That's right. That's what it looks like. And it's in a crosshairs. I know it's supposed to be a compass, but it looks like it's in a crosshairs. All right. So big game tonight. We will be live over on Playback, playback.tv/Lakers Nation. You guys can come hang out with us during the game. Join us for that. We do need to talk some Dodgers here, because once again, these guys do a phenomenal job with Dodger Blue. You guys can find the link in the description below for the YouTube channel, the podcast, the website, all that kind of stuff. And the Dodgers are getting things going. In fact, oh, look at that. We'll even shift over to the Dodger Blue background. In fact, can I do this? Oh, look at that. You're officially in the main chair. Jeff, I am very much in the casual side of Dodger fandom. So I'm going to hand the reins to you, and let's talk about what to look forward to for the Dodgers this season.
We kind of hinted at this earlier, and Daniel can chime in here in a minute as well. Daniel's on a lot of our Dodgers content, which is fun. Daniel and I were and Matt Moreno, the OGs of Dodger Heads back in COVID. We launched a baseball podcast in the midst of a season where games weren't being played. So brilliant strategy. But 2023, going to be 2024, going to be a great year. We mentioned Ohtani is here. Daniel referenced that he had his first official appearance as a Dodger yesterday in spring training. What do you know? Blasts a home run opposite field. His batting practice stuff has been crazy. And so he's going to be the headliner. They have two new pitchers in town, Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They made the highest paid pitcher in Major League history. He's a 25-year-old that's come over from Japan after winning their version of the Cy Young 3 consecutive years. They acquired Tyler Glasnow from the Rays in a big trade, paid him $125 million. He's a top 10 pitcher in Major League Baseball when healthy, although he hasn't always been healthy. We just kind of ignore that piece of it. And then offensively, in addition to Ohtani, you've obviously got Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman still in tow. So it's all stars. I mean, the top three guys in their batting order, Trevor, all finished in the top three in MVP voting last year. Ohtani in the AL, Mookie and Freddie in the NL. They have Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw, former Cy Young winners slash candidates, who will be coming back healthy at some point. They've got a couple stud young prospect pitchers and Bobby Miller and Emmett Sheehan, who will be in the mix. And then, you know, you just throw in the two guys who are in the top 5 to 10 for Cy Young award winning odds so far. So, I mean, that's the overview, Daniel. I guess for you, like, what are you most looking forward to outside of maybe the obvious Ohtani kind of headlines?
Yeah, well, first of all, that was a nice little 1 minute breakdown of the entire Dodgers offseason right there for those who weren't paying attention or don't necessarily follow the team. So good job there. And kind of the theme of what you brought out there is the Dodgers spent a lot of money this offseason. I know that's probably going to make some of the Laker fans on here jealous, you know, ownership that's willing to spend whatever it takes and is committed to winning. But that's kind of what we saw from the Dodgers. And I mean, I don't even, as far as what I'm most excited for, like, I don't know where you even begin to start here. I mean, I think Shohei Ohtani is the obvious answer here. And it's unfortunate he had elbow surgery at the end of last year, so we're not going to see him pitch this year. But as a hitter, he's pretty good as well. So like you said, the top three of that lineup with Mookie, Ohtani, and Freddie, that's arguably the best 1-2-3 in baseball history. So I'd say what I'm most looking forward to is just watching those guys, you know, on a nightly basis. Like, those are all three of those guys also are guys that play every day. So we're going to see that top three in the lineup for the whole summer, like from basically now until October. And we know you could basically pencil in at least 100 wins for the Dodgers just about every year. And this feels like a year where they could even, you know, contest the MLB wins record, which is 116. You know, I don't want to put that high of expectations on them, but they have the talent to do it. Yeah. So I'm just excited to watching them on a nightly basis.
So expectations are high for this team. It should be a really exciting season for you guys over at Dodger Blue. Is there anything that concerns you? Like, what are the weaknesses of this team right now? If you had to say, if something doesn't go the way we hope, how does that happen?
Yeah, I think it's health. I mean, which it always feels like in every sport. But if you look at the Dodgers, their top two pitchers, I mentioned one guy is Yamamoto, who coming over from Japan has never pitched in a 5-man rotation before, has never pitched in a Major League Baseball game. So with him, I guess I would say it's less health, but it's how does he acclimate to Major League Baseball? How does he acclimate to a different schedule? Their number two pitcher, Glasnow, has averaged 70 innings pitched over the last 5 years. Typically, you want that number to be like 180. It's 70 for him, so that's not awesome. Ohtani can't really play the field. We think he can't play the field. A report came out yesterday that he has an outfielder's glove with him, so we'll see. But he's coming off major surgery. Clayton Kershaw won't be available until 5 or 6 months into the season. Walker Buehler is being slow played. They got a couple relievers out there, so I would say overall, does Yamamoto's arm hold up in a 5-man rotation? And then can Glasnow stay healthy? Can Ohtani stay healthy? If these guys stay healthy, you know, it's like Daniel said, it's almost impossible to imagine a scenario where they don't win 100 games, which is a pretty significant number in baseball terms.
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head with health there as far as their biggest weakness. And I was kind of thinking about this the other day, like going through the roster and seeing you know, what their weaknesses are. And there really isn't much. Like, if guys are healthy, they got all-stars everywhere. Like, the one thing I could think of, and I know this will crack Jeff up, the backup catcher position seems to be a bit of a weakness. You know, our guy Austin Barnes, we've seen him struggle over the years, but I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek because backup catcher isn't all that important, and he's a great clubhouse guy as well. But I just said that just to show that this team really doesn't have a ton of weaknesses.
Yeah, Trevor, if you look at the Dodgers lineup 1 through mm-hmm. 9, I mean, Daniel, wouldn't you say be safe to say that if any of the first 7 were all-stars, that's going down to the likes of the top 3, then you got Will Smith, Max Muncy, Teoscar Hernandez, you know, basically the top 7 are probably like, could realistically be all-stars and nobody would be surprised. I think they've got 3 starting pitchers that are probably favored to be all-stars in Bobby Miller, Tyler Glasnow, and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. They have a couple of the when healthy best relievers in baseball in the bullpen. I mean, obviously not all of these guys will actually be all-stars, but it's not crazy to think they've got 10 or 11 guys on their 26-man roster who could very well be all-stars this year.
I know you have to run in a second here. So, but last thing that I've got for you, who's their closer? What are they going to do there?
Yeah. I mean, I think since the departure of Kenley Jansen, who, hey, he's kind of on the trade market right now. Yeah. So you never know, but since his departure, they've been kind of going with a committee. And I think if you look at their bullpen, they have a lot of talented arms, a lot of guys who are capable of closing out games. I think Evan Phillips is the name who's probably going to get a bulk of the save opportunities. But they got, you know, a lot of other, you know, veteran guys, whether that be Blake Treinen is coming back. Joe Kelly is back, fan favorite there. Ryan Brazier, who was awesome for them last year. Bruzdar Gratterall was also awesome. So they have a lot of quality arms, which is what you want. Like, I think the way baseball is kind of moving, you don't necessarily need a set, you know, closer or set roles in your bullpen. Like, you'd like to have guys ready to go whenever you need them. So I think that's what we're going to see. You know, the Dodgers have a stable of talented arms, and it kind of, you know, that there is some health risks there as well. But I think, you know, they could always go out and get a Kenley Jansen at the trade deadline or another closer if they kind of identify that as an issue.
And there has been smoke on a Kenley Jansen trade. It feels like that may be dissipating a little bit, but I would say it's more unlikely than it is likely. But I definitely would not be shocked to hear if there was a Kenley Jansen move made before opening day. And it is worth pointing out, by the way, Trevor, the Dodgers and Padres open up on March 20th and 21st in South Korea. So they open up basically almost a full 10 days before everybody else in Major League Baseball. So they head to Korea, where Dodger Blue will have a beat reporter on the ground. How about that? But they'll have two games in South Korea against the Padres. They'll come home. They'll play some more exhibition games that don't count against, I believe, the Angels. They'll do their freeway series. And then actual regular season games will start up again, I think, on the 28th. So things are coming up pretty quick on the baseball side.
All right. So bottom line, everybody, use the link in the description down below. Go check out Dodger Blue. Make sure you guys subscribe. They do a fantastic job covering the Dodgers. And again, going to be a really exciting season. If the Lakers season has you down, pay some attention to Dodger baseball as well, because they could be in for a very, very special season. Guys, thank you so much for coming on. This was a blast. We haven't done an official like crossover like this in quite a while. So this was a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys jumping in.
Thanks for having
us. Yeah, we got to do it again sometime for sure.
Definitely. All right, everybody, make sure you do subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Give us that 5-star rating and review over on Apple Podcast. Again, Lakers Clippers tonight. Let's see if the Lakers can get that big win that they need and then get the ball rolling in the right direction again. Till next time, everybody. See ya and stay safe.